Welcome to the Family Matter series on Charisma News. I'm Marty Pieper, and I am so excited to introduce today's guest, Ron Hutchcraft. Ron is one of those people who has a very long resume and what I perceive as a very big heart. He's a speaker, author, leader of two ministries, and he's also a radio host. And I would imagine probably much more that I don't even have time to share with you. But, Ron, I want to welcome you today to the Family Matters podcast series.
Well, it's great to be with you, Marty. And the only part of that matters of what you just said in my introduction is a big heart. I hope that's true.
Oh, well, I can tell it is from reading your book. And I'm just honored to speak with you today, sir. This upcoming book, I believe it releases in January, correct?
That's right.
Is called Hope When Your Heart Is Breaking. And one of the things I thought when I first saw the book or read the material about the book was this is something every one of us can relate to because we've all been there.
Yeah, that is so true. And the thing is, when I started writing this book, which is a little while back, who could have imagined what the year 2020 would bring into our lives? And
right.
It seems like everybody has lost something or someone of value, whether they lost a job, a relationship, someone they love, whether they lost their health, whether they lost their hope for the future, they lost their dream for the future. I mean, one thing we've all lost is a sense of certainty and predictability.
Mm.
And so all of us are dealing with loss, and that means all of us are dealing with grief, because that's what happens when you lose something of value, is there grieving begins. And that means that once you are at the crossroads of grief, you cannot have a major loss in your life and ever be the same again. You will not be the same. The question is, will your life be filled with hope and healing, or will it be filled with even more hurt? And the difference between those two is not the sad thing that happened to you. The difference is your choices. And, you know, I say in the book, I ask you, Mark, I know you're interviewing me, I know that, but let me ask you a quick question. Does a hammer build or destroy?
Usually it destroys.
But it can do both, can't it? It also
you're right.
Can.
You're
it
right.
Can. So, but it isn't the hammer that decides, it's what you do with the hammer.
The person
when,
who's
when
holding it.
When we have a major
yeah.
loss in our life, as you said, all of us do sometime, and many of us have even in the past months of some kind of loss. That means and grief hits, and it's like a hammer hit. But what
it
happens
sure
whether that hit destroys or whether it builds us is not up to the hammer hit. We didn't get any choice about getting hit by that hammer.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have choices as to what we do after that. And that's very much where the book takes us, is, and what I have learned through some of the deepest heartache of my life, is that it was my choices that determined where I ended up, not so much the sad thing that happened.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate that in the book you don't just focus on your own story. But I also know when I'm reading or when I'm hearing from someone who's sharing truth with me, I like to know that they're not just giving me pat answers. They know what they're talking about, and I know that you do. Would you share with us just a bit of your own story, Ron, and how you even thought of writing this book?
Yeah.
What pain led you here?
Well, yes, I would. My whole life in ministry, I've walked through, valleys with people many times and learned a lot about grief, but nothing like what I learned. This book was born, in a sense, on the best day of my wife's life and the worst day of mine. Let me take you back to May 15th, 2016. Our oldest grandchild, our grandson, graduated from high school as valedictorian. We were together watching this incredible milestone for our family. He gave a wonderful speech, a Christ-honoring speech, to a stadium full of people. I had to leave for a trip that night, and just before I left, I said, I love you, honey. And she said, well, I love you. And then, uncharacteristically, because I've had to go many places to speak, She cried. And she had tears in her eyes. I said, honey, what's up? And she said, I'm really going to miss you. And I said, well, don't worry, honey. It won't be long. I was wrong.
Because
I was gone the next day at 3 o'clock in our living room. She was suddenly gone for good. Because God took her that afternoon. She went home to be with Jesus for the best day of her life.
Amen.
And the worst day of mine. Now, you need to know, this has been the love of my life since I was 19, my whole adult life. There's only one person I've done my whole adult life with. We knew all the, had went through all the same battles together, the same victories, laughed at the same things, knew the same people.
Sure.
You know, everybody has, you know, we all know that feeling. And I knew, anybody who knew us said, Ron and Karen was like one word, Ron and Karen. All of a sudden,
and she was your ministry partner, your life partner, your ministry partner, everything, right?
Right, and we shared, the only person I shared my whole adult life history with, and in an instant it was just Ron. And I knew how to do life with Karen. I didn't know how to do life without Karen. And that was
that is a broken heart.
That was the beginning of the journey. Yeah, it was. It was a broken heart at a level I didn't even know was possible. To know Karen would have been for you to know someone who everyone said this. I got hundreds of tributes to the difference she had made in people's lives. They would say, she made me feel, and it would be special, loved, cared about, like I could go on living, safe. She made me feel. And she had was the wisest person I knew, my wisest counselor. She had a fantastic laugh that was picked up on seismographs. she was a joyful person. She was her walk with God was intimate and unique. She was unpredictable, and you never knew where she was going to come down. And she was a great, great lady, a real force of love in people's lives. And so it was a loss, not just for me, but for many, 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 many people. But obviously, I wrote a blog a couple weeks afterwards called My Shattered Heart, My Certain Hope, because I felt like a lost little boy. I didn't know which way to go at that point. You know, I'm the guy who has so many answers for so many people, supposedly.
Yes, yes.
All of a sudden, I was ambivalent because I was so excited for her, being with her master, being with Jesus, being with all her loved ones in a place where there was no pain. And, you know, the night before at our grandson's graduation, they all threw their caps in the air. And I said, when she graduated the next day, she threw a dozen prescription bottles in the air.
Amen.
So that's heaven. But by the same token, I wasn't in heaven. Her children weren't in heaven.
No.
Her grandchildren weren't. And we were here without
her face.
That stark reality. Thus, hope when your heart is breaking.
Very much so. Now, you kind of alluded to this earlier in what you were saying, but one of the things that I noticed early on in your book, it's probably a common thought that perspective makes a big difference. The way you look at something, you mentioned the hammer and, you know, what happens when that, what you choose to do. But how did choosing and continuing to choose the right perspective help you deal with your broken heart?
You know, very shortly after Karen was gone, God must have given me this thought because I wasn't together enough to do that. I grabbed an old notebook of hers that she hadn't used. I started a grief journal. I'm really glad I did. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what I learned on the journey has been recorded in that and shows up at different points kind of woven into the book. But I wrote these words in big, bold, if you could see it, it was big, bold letters at the top of a page. I will not waste this grief.
Mm-hmm.
And my prayer to the Lord was, I said, Lord, if it's going to hurt this bad, please use it somehow to make me more useful to you and to other people. And in a sense, that was a choice, that I wanted this to make me a man I wasn't and hadn't been. And to make those choices. See, I've been with enough grieving people who are dealing with loss who have made bad choices. Didn't mean
yes.
they were just trying to look for a little relief, a little comfort. And so they've either withdrawn or they've run from God instead of running to God. They've withdrawn instead of reaching out to people. They've turned angry or mean-spirited or depressed.
We're seeing that with people's responses to lockdown and the things that are happening with the pandemic.
And what does that do? That just compounds the hurt. It postpones or cancels you getting any hope, and you end up lonely and depressed and dark, and the darkest side of you comes out. But I'm saying that it doesn't have to be that way. And there is, you prayed for me before we started. It's a secret, folks. You pray for people before they go on the air. And in that prayer, you alluded to something in Scripture where Paul is talking to people in a city who had lost a lot of people. And he went to them and he said, "We do not grieve." Now, wait a minute. If it stopped there, I'd say I'm closing my Bible for good. That ain't true. Yes, we do.
Sure.
But it doesn't
Amen,
stop there.
We do.
It says, "We do not grieve as others who have no hope." The difference with my Jesus being in the equation is that there without him, there is just the grief. And there is like, it's like when you were a kid and you got on a seesaw at the park and there was nobody at the other end. So you're just sitting on the ground because there's nothing on the other side to lift you up.
Yes.
Well, without the hope that Jesus gives me, I would just be on the ground with nothing to lift me up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something on the other side with Jesus. There's a thing called hope on the other side. And it actually is stronger than the hurt. Because this is the deepest hurt. There are other hurts with other losses. But there is no hurt so deep as the loss of someone you love deeply. And so for hope to be something other than just a wish or a temporary feeling, there has to be a hope that is as real and as strong as the hurt is. And the hurt's really strong, but there's got to be something equally strong or even stronger on the other side. And that's why Paul could say to people who he went on to say, "We believe that Christ died for us and rose again." He was able to say, rooted in that is a hope that is stronger than the hurt. Does it cancel the grief? Does it keep you from grieving? Absolutely not. My shattered heart, my certain hope. But what it does is it envelops your grief with something more powerful, makes the unbearable bearable, the undoable doable. That's real hope.
That is amazing. And you're sharing my secret, so I'm gonna go ahead and tell you another one. It's not a secret to the listeners, the regular listeners of this podcast, but you're ministering to me because my husband has been diagnosed with an early onset dementia. And in the last several years, that's meant loss of jobs, change in our location, lots of changes, as you might expect with that. But part of that is grief, grief for him when he's aware of what he's lost. And then, of course, grief for me. You know, you faced a sudden loss after illness, but still unexpected.
You're losing him a little at a time,
aren't you?
You're losing him a little at a time.
But the hope is having Jesus as that foundation. I can't imagine this is hard. And what you went through was hard. And what people face, all the kinds of other situations they face, it is hard. But what would we do if we didn't have Jesus? What would we do if we didn't have the Holy Spirit? There's a reason, I'm being the interviewee now, Ron, but there's a reason that Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, right? How did you find yourself, would you say that you found yourself relying on that comforter aspect of God as you walked through the time?
Definitely, and I'll tell you how that works. A broken heart is therefore an open heart. It's wide open.
Mm.
It's probably more open than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't help it. And at that moment, the Bible says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
Yes.
Now, he's always close, isn't he? Yeah, but he's close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And Isaac's like, well, I qualify for that verse, and you probably do too. And
yes, sir.
So it what happens is he's able to go places in your heart with his comfort, his courage, his strength, his grace, that you didn't even know you had before. I mean, until he goes into those places. And consequently, I found myself, and I talk about how this can happen in the different kinds of losses of life. I found myself, and I find myself today, feeling Jesus more than I've ever felt him.
Mm.
And I don't know how to explain it differently, but I feel him deeply. I've always known a lot about him and depended on that and had a great, I thought, a good relationship with him. But Job said, and God thought Job was a great guy, but after all of his suffering, he said, my ears had heard of you, Lord, but now my eyes have seen you.
My eyes have seen
There's
you, yeah.
just a way that the people in the valley experience Jesus that you can't experience him any other way, and it might be because your broken heart is so open. I also feel other people's hurts more than I ever did. I used to be at times, I'm like, oh, I really can't stop, Lord. I'm so busy. Have you looked at my list for today? Now I stop.
Do you know what I need to do, God?
Now I stop. Because it's like, pardon me, but the Grinch who stole Christmas. You're like, well, how do we get to the Grinch here? But
I think he shows up in your book too.
Yeah, he does. He does green on the green page. But you remember that at the end of the Grinch who stole Christmas, he's upset because the people in Whoville are still celebrating, even though he stole all their gifts. And he says, my heart grew 3 sizes that day.
That day, yeah.
And my heart has grown 3 sizes, and that's. I will say that when you mentioned the situation with the man you love, that I deal with 5 hope robbers in the book. Now, there are many others.
You're answering my questions before I ask them, Ron. This is really great. No, go ahead. Do my work for me, sir.
You brought it up, and that's what made me think of it. But I deal with the broken heart, and obviously I just let that be especially about losing someone you love. But then a broken love, that is, because there are other things that die in our lives. And you may feel like, you know, someone is like listening right now and their marriage is dying. Their mm-hmm. love for their partner is dying or has died and the marriage is over. So we have a chapter there that deals with the grieving that goes with a broken love. And then there's a broken dream, that the thing you just always hoped would happen, or maybe... you know, business has failed, or you're one of your kids is away from God, and you're really scared for what's going to happen to them. Whatever it is, you thought you were going to be married, and it isn't happening. A broken dream. What happens with the grieving over a broken dream? Now, broken health is a big one. When you get report from the doctor that you or someone you love either is not going to, their life is never going to be the same, or may end sooner than anybody had thought, that is another kind of grieving. You're grieving a loss. You have something you've lost there. And the other one is a broken past, that it may be that things have happened in your past, whether you were abused or abandoned or neglected, hurt in some way, and it's never really been dealt with. It's never been faced and healed, and therefore you have serial grieving. It goes on throughout your life. In a way, you're constantly acting out how you're grieving that loss. And so we try to have a practical strategy for making the right choices in each of those situations, so that at grief crossroads because of a loss, you choose the road that will bring you hope and healing, and even more so, make you hope for other people. If you make the right choices, you will not only find hope for yourself, but in the Bible's words, we comfort others. It calls God the God of all comfort.
That's the verse I was thinking of. Yes.
Yeah. But it says, so that, not just so we can get comforted, we may be able to comfort others with the comfort he comforted us with.
And wasn't that your prayer when you were in the depths of despair over the loss of your wife? Weren't you asking God to use you that way? So,
you got it. Lord,
yeah.
Don't let me waste this grief. And can you make something? He promises in Isaiah 61 that he will do something that will turn ashes to beauty,
mm-hmm.
and a spirit of despair to a garment of praise. And you know what? He really is good at that. And there is it isn't the hole in your heart that's left goes away. It's always there, but it's that he gives you the power and the grace through his Holy Spirit to rebuild your life around the hole. The hole is kind of where that person you lost always lives in your heart. So you wouldn't want it to go away. But now you rebuild around that hole. And I'm telling you that when what you have lost causes you to reevaluate your priorities so that you begin to live more for what really matters and less for what really doesn't, and when you let God recycle your hurt into hope for other people, and when you let what you have lost cause you to evaluate if there's something you need to release that you've been controlling and holding on to and keeping God from controlling in your life, to release that to him, he can do so much more with it than you can do. Then he can really start to rebuild your life, because the storm, and this is what's happened with the pandemic, is as like a hurricane in Florida will reveal the weaknesses in structures, you know, and so consequently there are stronger building codes that come out of that. And the next time a hurricane comes in, that storm can't do as much damage because the last storm exposed the weaknesses. And that's what, you know, my storms have shown me places that are like, you know what, you are as nearly as strong as you thought you were in that area. Look at you. And
okay, now you've quit preaching and gone to meddling, Ron. Come on.
Well, I'm ready for the next storm now. I'm ready for the next storm
because
of learning from the last one.
And I am too. Now you alluded to this already, saying that in your ministry you meet people and they have various kinds of broken hearts. And that's one thing I did appreciate about your book, that you weren't just confining it to one sort of grief. You're recognizing that broken hearts are everywhere and for all sorts of reasons. But what do you say, Ron, when you're out speaking or you're out ministering or whatever you're doing, and I know people come up to you, especially maybe after you speak on this topic, people come up and they first thing they want to do is share their story or share the hurt that they're in the middle of right now. I know you can point them to your book, but what are the words? What do you say to them just when they're in that moment where things are just looking very dark and they're not thinking about all these good outcomes that we just spoke about? What word do you have for them?
Well, first of all, don't talk much.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to listen. The reason being that perhaps the most damaging choice people make with grief is they stuff it.
Mm.
And if they feel, in fact, the one thing you should do is probably ask more questions than give answers initially, and help them speak their grief, speak their loss, feel their feelings. Because in the words of Shakespeare, who, by the way, did not tell me this himself, I'm old, but I'm not that old.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yes, I'm sure there was confusion. He said, give sorrow words. And many people don't give their sorrow words. They're trying to be strong or whatever it is. And so I would say, first of all, listen a lot. Ask caring questions that will help them give their sorrow words. Don't be afraid of tears. Tears are language. Tears say things that words can't say. And it may be they've needed to cry. So don't be afraid to cry, and don't be afraid for someone to cry with you. And if the person, if this happens to be a person they've lost, and that person did know Christ, I think it's always good. Now, you don't want to just do this, because it will sound like a pat answer. but help them understand that in their mourning, there also are some things that they can celebrate. I had a friend tell me on the first anniversary of Karen's passing, "Ron, I hope today you'll be able to celebrate more than mourn." And I did that day, because what that advice, that 6:30 in the morning text did for me was to help me to think about her in a place where there is no pain, no sorrow, no loss, and with the people that she loved, with the great people of other ages who loved Jesus, most of
people
all with Jesus himself. And we used to sing in church, "Worthy is the Lamb," and I thought, she's with the Lamb singing it to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous. And even though I mourned her loss, and again on that anniversary day, the celebration for what was going on her side of eternity was greater than my mourning on this side of eternity. So give them a little of that, if that is true, that their loved one knew Jesus. And I think what you can encourage them to do, of course, anything you say from a first-person nature. Now, I wouldn't say, "I know how you're feeling." I doubt that. You know, even if someone I knew had lost their wife, I'm not going to say, because grief is as individual as we are. And so you don't know how they're feeling exactly. But,
of course not.
But I think you can say, there's someone who understands your grief completely. And I think one of the good things that could happen while we're together is for you to just let your heart open up to Jesus and literally pour out your heart to him about the hurts, the doubts, the anger, the discouragement, the fear of doing life without what you've lost. Can we do that together? And let me pray for you, and then I would love to be here with you to support you as you just pour out your heart to Jesus. They may not feel comfortable doing it with you, but if you can encourage them at their first time, they can get alone by their bed or whatever and kneel down and pour it out to Jesus. That will start a process that will open them up to the healing work of Christ getting deep into their heart, because they have been willing to, in words, expose the depths of their heart. He already knows what's there. He simply is a gentleman, and he's waiting for you to open the door to that part of your heart to him.
Yes, I love that, and I can tell that as someone who has experienced a broken heart, the Lord really has softened you and given you that sensitivity to be able to speak to someone. And as I go through my journey, those are the kinds of things I'm praying for too. So, Juan, you do have a beautiful book that is filled with so much powerful and practical and spiritual. Really, spiritual and practical are always the same thing, although we tend to separate them. But I've found a lot in here that would be valuable for people in many situations. But one thing I want to ask you to do before we close that I know is even more valuable than your book, and that is, would you take time today to pray for our listeners?
I sure will. And if you are listening, I wish it was, let's pretend it's just you and me. I don't know your situation, but let's just make it the three of us, you and me and Jesus, and we'll talk to him on your behalf. My Lord, we thank you that when we come to you, we come to one who your Bible describes as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, who sympathizes with our weaknesses and our feelings. You wept. You cried when you were here over some things. We know that you understand the depths of grief. No one has grieved more than you have, than when you carried our sin and went to the cross. So we thank you that you are a tender-hearted Savior. And we come to you on behalf of someone who's listening today, and this conversation has been something that I could feel and identify with, and maybe even some tears have been shed. And we just ask that in this moment, you would move in deep in their heart to the wound, to the fear, to the loss, to the doubt, to the anger, to the uncertainty, the insecurity, the loneliness. We pray you will move into that corner of their heart, and we pray that they would feel the grace touch of the Savior who your word describes as a living hope. For we thank you that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. You're not an idea. You are a resurrected, empty tomb left behind, Savior. And I pray you would be that for the one who is listening. And Lord, if they have never reached out to you to actually take for themselves which you died on the cross to give them, which is the forgiveness of every sin of their life and a heaven they could never earn, but that you paid for, we ask you that this day they would invite you, living Jesus, into their heart so they never have to walk through the valley of the shadow alone again. And so, Lord, I commit each listener to you. Thank you that there's something on the other side of the grief scale, and it's called hope, and he is Jesus. And you are there on call 24/7. So we will never again, as I said, walk alone. Your word says, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For you are with me. That's it. May that presence be real to one who is listening today. And Lord, we pray for those of us who've been through grief. Would you help us turn our grief and our hurt into hope for others? And may we now become a hope transmitter for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Well, Ron, again, thank you so much for sharing your journey. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. And again, your book that's coming out in January is Hope When Your Heart is Breaking. And I want to encourage you, listeners, that book will be available, I guess, wherever books are sold. We can find them in all sorts of places nowadays. But you can also go to, probably the easiest way to find it, is to go to hopewhenyourheartisbreaking.com. Spelled just like it sounds. So look there, and I know you can find out about the book and about Ron and other information that you may need. Ron, I love the way the Lord has used and is using you to take your journey and turn you into that transmitter of hope. And I know some things that I need to add to my prayer list as I walk my own road. So thank you so much again. And listeners, we never want to neglect to thank you for taking the time to share with us on the Family Matters podcast on Charisma News. And we hope that you'll look for other podcasts in this encouraging series.